So let me invite Lori to come up and read Matthew 6, 25 to 34.
Do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O men of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. The word of the Lord.
Be to God. So this morning we're starting a new series of messages that I'm entitling, Why Believe? Pointers to the Christian Faith. And it's my hope and prayer and my desire that this sermon series will be a little bit unique compared to maybe other sermon series we have done. Especially, I'm hoping that the tone and the atmosphere of the sermon series will be unique and different. And what I mean by that is the following. This is a church. This is a church. And we are a church community. We're a community of faith. We are a community of faith in Jesus Christ. And we believe amazing things about Jesus. Sometimes, even when I'm going to say them in a few moments, I kind of wow. You know, we do not believe little things about Jesus, right? We believe that he is the second person of the Trinity. He is the Son of God. He was born of a virgin. We believe that he died, but also most amazing, he rose from the dead, and most amazing of all, he will never die again. We believe Jesus is the Messiah and the Savior of the world. And because of this, these big beliefs we have about Jesus, we believe in him, we sing about him, we sing to him, we want to follow him, and we want other people also to follow him and believe in him and sing to him and about him. And as a pastor in this church, I want to encourage people in faith. I want to help people believe. I want to promote faith in Jesus. I want to encourage those who don't believe to believe. I want to encourage those who believe to maybe believe more strongly. I want to encourage those who are agnostic or not sure about God or about Jesus to make decisions or find rhythms in their lives that show that they do believe, that to start a journey of faith. And so as both pastor, individually, but also as church community, we are largely about the same kind of task, living lives of faith, singing songs of faith, going through our daily tasks, hopefully with faith in Jesus. This is what I'm called to do, and I believe what we are called to do as Nelson Avenue. But, and this is are really important buts. We don't all believe these things about Jesus. Nor do all of us believe all of these things about Jesus. Nor do all of us believe all of these things with the same amount of passion and vigor and certainty. Some of us would call ourselves believers. Some of us this morning, or others maybe who aren't here this morning, who are typically with us, might call ourselves maybe unbeliever. Some of us, I know, call ourselves agnostic. We're not sure. And some of us in the agnostic area are not sure, do I believe, what do I believe, how much do I believe what I'm supposed to believe? And so for the purposes of this sermon series in particular, I not only want to acknowledge this, but I want to encourage us to be okay with this. Not in the sense of, you know, believe whatever you want, I don't care. That's not what I'm suggesting, because I do care. But in the sense of, if you tell me that I'm struggling with faith, I'm struggling with certain things about the Christian faith, I don't believe as strongly as you think I do, or I've had periods in my life where I've doubted certain things that the Bible tells me to believe. If you were to tell me that, I want to be in a place where I can say, it's okay. I'm not going to run away from you. I'm not going to freak out. I'm not going to say, how is this possible? You've been sitting in that chair, in that pew for weeks or months or years. How could you say that? I want to say, it's okay. It's all right to share that. I'm so thankful you shared that. I want to seek to understand what it's like maybe to have those questions. In this sermon series, I want to encourage us, starting this morning, and then the series, and then maybe even larger than the series, I want to see if we can set a tone of seeking to understand each other, allowing each other to share stories of faith and unfaith, the heights of faith and the depths and the lows of doubt and disbelief. Or maybe for some of us, it's the other way around. Maybe it's the depths of faith and trying to believe and the heights of unbelief. I want to acknowledge but also allow room for and respect the questions and the doubts and sometimes the skepticisms that people have about the Christian faith. Well, I'm going to say this a few times this morning because I'm already sensing from some of you what is happening this morning. So I've said it once, I'm going to say it again, I'm going to say it more times in the sermon. I want to foster faith. I want to promote faith. I want to encourage faith. If there is a God, and I believe there is, if Jesus is the Messiah of the world, which I believe he is, if there is a heaven and a hell, which I believe there are, then those things have huge implications, not just for us, but for our world. And if these things are true, then we should not just be aware of them, but we should orient our lives around these great realities. So in this sermon series, as we ask the question, why believe, I want to point us toward faith in Jesus. I want to help us consider or reconsider or help others consider or reconsider the Christian faith. I want to bring messages that will help us point there, I hope, but also maybe challenge some of us. Do you believe? Why do you believe what you believe? Can you give some reasons why you believe what you believe? The messages will be largely under the theme of what is called apologetics, which is kind of a fancy word for giving a defense of the Christian faith, but I want to say not apologetics in the traditional sense, proofs or evidence. I want to talk about good reasons or pointers or things for us to consider. I'm hoping This morning we're planning to, but also other mornings, to have after the message a time for a little discussion or some questions or some comments or observations. I'm starting to ask some people in our church, and maybe, I don't know what's going to happen, maybe those outside the church, to tell us a story about faith, or tell us a story about the struggle with faith, or what part of the Christian faith is difficult for them or for us to believe. We're going to sing, of course, like we did this morning, songs of faith. But there's also going to be some songs like Dale's song this morning that are going to ask some questions. And there's going to be probably some songs you're going to say, I never expected to hear that song in a church. What's that doing in a church? But sometimes there are musicians who are writing songs we need to hear because they're expressing things in our culture that people are wondering about. I'm hoping that in the service, before the service, after the service, but also during the week, there'll be conversations that we will have with each other about our faith. Why do you believe what you believe? And then I'm hoping to organize, and maybe some of you can help me organize, conversations together in a home, at church, in a coffee shop, maybe after watching a video that gives more pointers and reasons to believe. As I talk with some of you, I sense that there is what I call a spectrum of faith at Nelson Avenue, and certainly in our culture, in our society. I think we make a mistake when we assume that if you believe, you believe 100%. If you don't believe 100%, I think that's a mistake. Some of us have oodles of faith, and we should be thankful for that. Some of us have a little faith. Some of us, I would call, have half full faith. Sometimes it's half full, and sometimes when I talk with you, it sounds like it's the same amount of faith, it's half empty. Some of us doubt, some of us have questions, some of us, I've already said, are agnostic. So I'm going to say it again. I want to help people believe in Jesus. I want to help people move towards stronger faith in Jesus. But this is actually one of the reasons why I want to do this sermon series with you. I think for some of us, we have to acknowledge, like someone said to Jesus in Mark chapter 9, I believe. Help my unbelief. Now that's a striking thing to say. And I think some of us would be helped if we said, that's me. That's me. That verse in the Bible maybe was put there so that others would say the same kind of thing. Sometimes we can't move on, and this morning I'm using the image of moving on toward more faith or deeper faith or faith that is more firm or secure unless we acknowledge what's holding us back. So I want to encourage us to be honest with ourselves, honest with each other, honest with God. And I know, I already wrote this here, even as I write these words and say them to you this morning, I can feel the fear. I feel that some of us, some of maybe you this morning, are saying, what is going on this morning? What happened to Pastor Yo this past week? Is he going, you know, is he totally nuts? Is a church going off the rails? And I can imagine that even this morning as I start talking and talking about why I believe and there's a spectrum of faith, some of us might, like, this sounds scary. What's happening? And I want to recognize that. But again, I'm suggesting that because I'm a pastor and because we're a community of faith, part of our role is to listen to each other, to help each other, to acknowledge what lives among us. I have to also acknowledge that being in this culture, I have a feeling from my interactions with some of you, if I lived in other cultures, this would be different. But because we live in this culture, in North America, with all of its history up till now, I feel the pull at times towards not believing. I can sometimes imagine what it's like for someone to say, I no longer believe those things that the Bible says or that the church has believed for so long. I can start to understand what that's like. This morning I'm also thinking, I think about myself in the sermon series, I also think about our youth. Now I just got back last night, thank the Lord that I made it back safely. I was in Camp Stillwood, which is right by Cultus Lake. You think there's snow here, there's twice as much out there. It's been a long time. I remember being a teenager, like 17, 18, driving the Ventura, the Pontiac Ventura, in southern Ontario. We have those snowstorms come through, and I was praying so much. Lord, just get me home. And last night, same thing. I'm going back to my teenage years. Lord, just get me home. Because this highway doesn't look that great. So I'm so thankful to be here this morning. But as we were meeting with the youth this weekend, they're coming back this afternoon, we were talking about dealing with doubts, which I know doesn't sound like a typical youth retreat topic. I recognize that. But the youth that we have right now at Nelson Avenue, they're a great bunch of kids. They're very thoughtful. They ask questions. And I know in the youth group there is a spectrum of faith. Right? There is faith and doubts and some unfaith and all mingled together. So I'm thinking about them this morning. I'm thinking about myself. I'm thinking about our culture. But maybe most important for me this morning, and I know the youth are important, very important, but maybe more important than the youth for me are the adults at Nelson Avenue. Although we should be very concerned about children and youth and young adults, amen. I feel concerned about those in their 30s, us, in our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, maybe even older. As I talk with some of us, I hear struggles and questions. And part of me wants to run away. But I can't. We can't. So I wanna also think about youth, children, but also adults in this sermon series. For some of us who maybe believe, but now we don't believe as we used to. And what's going on? And can we be of help to each other? And can we acknowledge that? And are there things that we can do, some conversations we can have to encourage faith? So I'll say it one last time. As a pastor, and as a church community, we want to encourage faith in Jesus. But again, it's one of the reasons why I want to do this sermon series with you. I want to point people to the resources in the Christian faith and in Jesus himself, who even acknowledges in his ministry this dynamic going on in the hearts of people. And I'm wondering if you heard that this morning in the reading. Now, I'm finally getting to Matthew 6. So Lori was reading, and she was reading the kind of a famous passage in the Bible, "Do not worry," which is actually a wonderful passage, Jesus trying to instill faith in the people he's talking to. So he says, the God that you worship, he's like a father. And he loves you and cares for you more than he cares for the birds and the grass. And then he says in Matthew 6:30, I've always read this as a throwaway phrase, but he says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. I guess I never really noticed that. I noticed that, but I thought, oh, a little throwaway. But who's Jesus talking to? I submit he's talking to people who have a little faith. They're people who aren't sure if God really loves them. They aren't sure if God's really like a father to them. They aren't sure if God loves them and cares for them more than he does the birds in the grass. And so he's trying to instill this in them, but they are people with little faith. Later on in the same gospel, Matthew chapter 8, Jesus sleeping in the boat, his disciples all scared. Lord, save us, we're going to drown. You of little faith, why are you so afraid? So he's with his disciples, these guys who are with them all the time, see the miracles, hear the stories, hear the teaching. And he calls them little faith. Then Peter, as I'm looking at this theme, it seems to be kind of pouring out of the scriptures, Matthew 14. Jesus again, now the disciples in the boat, another storm comes up, Jesus walking on the water. It's a ghost. No, it's me, Jesus. And then one of them, it's always the same guy, Peter. Well, if it's you, Lord, tell me to come out on the water, because if it's a ghost, of course, the ghost will not tell me to come out there. But if it's you, my master, my leader, you're going to ask me to come out. And what does Jesus say? Come on out. And he starts, he's the only one who does this. We have to remember, he's the only one who goes walking on the water, but a few steps, sees the wind, sees the waves, starts to drown. Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, caught him. You of little faith. Jesus said, why did you doubt? He got out of the boat. Everybody else is still in the boat. Peter gets out and he's called little faith. So what does it mean for the rest of the guys in the boats? And for me, the most striking verse is at the end of the same gospel, Matthew 28. So Jesus teaching, healing, suffering, dying, rising from the dead, talking to his disciples. He's with them in Galilee. The 11 disciples are with him in Galilee. They're on a mountain. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Now that for me is, I just can't understand that. I mean, here's the resurrected Jesus. Worship is going on, very appropriate, but some of them, how is this possible? They're doubting still. So these are the people, those of little faith, Peter sinking in the water, those who have seen the resurrected Jesus who are still doubting, these are the people Jesus talks to, walks with, invites, works with, because I submit these are the only people he can work. All the people he talks to, all the people he invites, are always people of little faith. He knows the human condition. He knows our propensity not to believe. And when Jesus gives an example of how much faith do you need to move a mountain, he said the size of a mustard seed. So I'm submitting these verses and these images to you to suggest that Jesus understands our hearts. He knows that even though they would see a resurrected Jesus, some will still doubt. And I want to allow this morning and in coming weeks conversations or a tone here at Nelson Avenue to say, let's talk about that. Where does it live among us? Why does it live there among us? Are there things we can do to help each other in this journey of faith we're on? You know, some religions and even non-religious persons and groups do not encourage any questions. But the Christian faith does. And that's one of the reasons for me why the Christian faith is not a cult. You know, some might say, leave your questions at home. Don't bring them to church. I want to say, let's bring them to church. Bring them into your small groups. Let's wrestle sometimes together, listen together, talk together, and see what God might do among us. And very much connected with the sermon series, not just Sunday mornings, but outside of it, is that we need a community to believe, but also we need a community when we doubt, when we question. People who will listen to us, talk with us, pray for us. And we need especially this Jesus, who I'm going to say this morning is not just a friend of sinners, I want to call him a friend of doubters. I've never used that phrase before, but as I'm reading these verses from the Gospel of Matthew, and I think about the people that Jesus was constantly with, but kept working with them, kept doing ministry with them, kept inviting them, poured his Spirit out on them. It was a community, I think, with a spectrum of faith. They were believers, but some of them showed signs, some of them not believing. And he's still their Lord. He's still their leader. So I want to commend the Christian faith. It's the first reason. It's maybe not the most important reason, but I want to commend the Christian faith to us and to others because the leader of the Christian faith is a friend of doubters. For people who, like me, have been believers for many years, but maybe our faith needs to be awakened or revived again. For people like me, been believers for many years, but you might find that your faith is slipping. You know, you don't believe the way you used to. For young people and all of us who live in the culture that we do, who find the questions coming, but also for people who don't believe at all, who aren't part of a church community, who are maybe are wrestling with big questions in their lives. I want to welcome all of these people, not just in the sermon series, but to Jesus, who has the amazing ability to handle questions and doubts and skeptics, who comes with a word for everyone. Last month, we had our congregational meeting postponed because in December we had snow, so we had a few weeks ago. And during the beginning of that meeting, we had a little exercise. We had to tell people, what's one thing you're hoping for in 2017? And one of the people I was talking to, I said to them, I hope that more skeptics and doubters join Nelson Avenue. Even people who are hostile to the Christian faith, I want them to come. I hope this is a place where they can come with all of their wrestlings. It'd be good for our church community to have more. It'd be a good challenge for us. But also because the Jesus, who is the Lord of this community, is a good person for all of us. Believers, unbelievers, doubters, skeptics, atheists. Jesus is a good Savior, a good Lord for anyone to come to.